Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Happy Memorial Day. Hope you're having a great weekend. The Beat indeed is here. Jared's off today, although he will join the show around 4:35. Adam Hoge's here. I'm back. Dan Long's here. Apologize for missing the show yesterday.
You don't have to apologize.
I always feel like I got to apologize. I don't want to miss the show. Apologize to me and my family and my legion of fans, all six of them, that were texting me. I got one text yesterday. You're not doing the show today?
That's one more text than I ever get when I don't do the show.
I mean, I was thrilled to get the one text. It was big. Mike Chorney, my buddy, texted me, not doing the show today. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, my guy.
All right.
But, yeah, I was at Jordan Bernfield's wedding, former WGN employee. You remember Jordan Bernfield. Don't you, Don Norton? I can hear you. I do, indeed.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. I got to compliment the Jewish people for a...
Can we compliment Don Norton, by the way?
Hey, thanks.
Sure.
I mean, that's the best sports report the show's ever had.
Well, thank you very much.
For one. And but there is one thing. Can you bake?
What have I done?
Veronica Carter, who used to sit in this seat, had brought the greatest food in ever, Don.
I gotcha. Hey, listen, I brought Dunkin' Donuts.
You did?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll bring them down. A lot of chocolate. And that is
okay.
Very...
You're in. We're good. Everything's good.
I don't know. Don't bring that down here. I'll eat it. It won't be good for me.
That's the problem.
Who won the Indy 500 there, Don?
Takuma Sato.
Takuma Sato. The 101st running of the Indy 500.
Should I know who that is?
No.
I'm not sure. Honda. He's driving a Honda.
I drive a Honda.
Castroneves.
You could win
Chevy
the Indy.
Next.
Early in the race, Scott Dixon and Jay Howard avoided injury in a spectacular crash.
Did you see that?
I did not. Oh, I did not. I wasn't Indy 500-ing up, which, by the way, this is an opportunity. We'll give away whatever we have in our prize vault. If you want to be our official IndyCar 500 reporter right now and let us know how it went and explain why people would ever watch a car race, I'd love to hear it. And I've been to the 500, and I've gotten...
You have been?
I have, and I got to spin around on the track, and that was cool.
Yeah.
But I've also vended out at the Speedway, which, by the way, I'm not... Hey,
you vended at the Speedway?
I did. I was selling beer at the Speedway, man.
Where does that rank on the most money you ever made vending? It has to be a lot, right?
We did. Oh, it was decent. It wasn't over the
really?
Top. There were 7,000 vendors. Guys is a key factor in the vending, and there were a lot of guys. Everybody was fired up to get out to Joliet and sell a Miller Lite / Bud Light / Budweiser.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Indianapolis.
Oh no,
Motor
no.
Speedway.
No.
I thought you were saying that you vended at the Indianapolis 500.
No,
I misunderstood.
No,
my
no.
apologies.
Some vendors out here though they travel down to the Kentucky Derby. That's a thing. I don't know how well they do.
I love the Derby.
I've never been to the Derby. Hey, congratulations to all those who did bike the drive this morning. Adam Hoge, you're one of those people.
I am.
Oh, great.
Was up bright and early. Got out on the drive by 6 a.m. with my wife. A lot of fun, but here's the thing. I have a confession. I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to biking. Like, I know how to ride a bike, but I'm not a biker.
It's bike the drive. You don't have to be like...
No, but so here's
Greg LeMond.
I know. Okay, so when I moved out to Vernon Hills last year, I bought a new bike.
Oh.
I was like, hey, you know, there's some nice bike trails in Lake County. I'll use it. Guess how many times I've gone on those trails?
Zero.
Zero times. So this seemed like a good opportunity to get the bike out on Lakeshore Drive, and it was. Bike worked great. However, my wife was using my old bike, which is probably 14 or 15 years old. Okay?
Okay, hold on a second. I got to stop you.
And it's a men's bike.
You have a brand new bike.
Yeah.
That you could have given your wife and been...
It wouldn't have fit her. It would have been too big.
Okay, fine. But your old bike fits her?
Yeah, because it's 15 years old. I used it when I was in high school.
I get it. You were a smaller Hoge then. I thought you were just...
No. So it was tuned up enough. I made sure there was air in the tires.
Good job.
And it worked. It was fine. But we're going along. So we went south to the Museum of Science and Industry and back. Right? So we're probably to 31st Street, maybe 35th. And she's like... You know, this lock here, there's a lock on the bike. And I don't have the key. The thing's 15 years old. I don't. It's just mounted on the bike, and I don't have the key to get the lock off.
Right.
Right. So it's but it's rubbing up against her leg every time she pedals, and it's like starting to get pretty bad. So now I'm now I feel bad, and she's also like, "Yeah, the bike's working, but this is not comfortable at all." So we get down to the Museum of Science and Industry.
I still maintain you should have swapped out bikes and given her the new bike.
Maybe,
go ahead.
Maybe, but there's bike mechanics there.
Of course.
Right?
Got to be a bike mechanic on Bike to Drive, yep.
And this shows just goes to show, like, even I'm being an idiot on my bike. It turns out there's not enough air in my tires. Mm-hmm. Like, my back tire was basically flat. So I probably worked twice as hard as I needed to just to get to the museum. So we do that. And then I ask the guy, I go, "Hey, do you have some kind of tool to take this lock off of her bike?" And he looks at it and he goes, "Yeah, screwdriver."
Screwdriver.
He took the whole mount off, just like that. The lock was like mounted on the bike.
Okay,
so you can't get the lock open, but you can take the mount off with the screwdriver.
I see.
Not too complicated, Adam. So he takes that off. We just throw it in the trash. Bye bye lock. He also looks at the bike and goes, "This seat's way too low for you." Not me, my wife. Way too low. Raises it like 5 inches. Considerable amount.
Right.
Also raises the handlebars. We get back on the bikes. Way better. Like, essentially the whole bike was screwed up because I don't know what the heck I'm doing with bikes. And the way back, for both of us, because I had air in my tires, her bike actually fit her. It all worked a lot better.
They're new heroes. The bike people are heroes. You bring your bike into a bike shop. Next thing you know,
it's way better.
You start flying around. You feel like you're an actual athlete. So it sounds like you got some hardcore exercise early going, and then you cruise to the finish, and it was a great day for you and your wife.
It was, and it was an unbelievable morning. Anybody who was out there this morning on Lakeshore Drive knows it was a perfect temperature. It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. The sun was shining. Shout out to all the volunteers who were out there, MB Financial, Active Transit. It was a great group. And we had a good WGN team out there.
Who was out there? I was invited. I apologize for not making it. Patty Vasquez went above and beyond the call of duty to try to get me out there. I did not meet the challenge. I had a wedding last night. Congratulations again to Jordan Burnfield. It just was, you know.
That's a good excuse. You're not waking up at 4:30 in the morning after a wedding.
Quick turnaround.
I was in bed by 10.
You know what's key?
How was that wedding?
I didn't follow through on my thought there. Props to the Jewish people once again. The chair Hava Nagila situation that the Jews do at their wedding is such an upper level move that it should be universal for all weddings.
Yeah.
You get a little spin around in the circle. You get Burnfield raised up to the ceiling. I'm sitting there rooting for him to get to fall, which is, you know, wrong and terrible. But
so you were not holding him up, though.
No. I got a little bit of a sprained wrist down. I couldn't be getting involved in that.
Gotcha.
My only exposure to that is the movie Wedding Crashers.
Okay.
I've never been to a Jewish wedding.
Yeah, so that was a thing. Like, you know, there's people are coming up to me, radio people, like, "What do we do?" I'm like, "What? Are you kidding? You don't know what to do?" Because there's a whole, you know, you got to get in the circle.
Radio people should know.
Well, Brian Beto, who's a radio guy, and his wife did not know. So I'm sitting there, you know, taking them through it, and then I get a legit emotions going on the Hava. It was really cool.
Did the pre-wedding drama get all sorted out?
As far as I know, we had an open seat at the table. That's I'll leave that one. That was something. What did I want to follow up through? Oh, one other thing, which is another. It's a great wedding touch. You got the dinner, right? Then you got the dancing going on afterwards. The key component to being an upper level wedding, without spending a ton of dough, but just a nice touch, you got to have on the back end. They had the Lou Malnati's pizza. They had the little sliders going on out, and the dessert. So you had a little bit of a dessert little table, and then you had the Lou Mal's, and you had your sliders. And some French fries. So at the end of the night, when you're hungry and you want that little snack, because you didn't eat a ton at dinner, whatever it is, to have that little snack going on, I think that's key.
Yeah, I've been at a couple weddings that do that.
That's nice, right?
Roll out some pizza at 10 o'clock.
Huge.
That's clutch.
That's a big move.
Yes.
So it was a first class affair. Dave Ennett was there representing. Let's see who else was there. Do you try to list names of people?
Yes, probably not. I want to hear the names.
Okay, who in Chicago? Our table we had Dan Levy, a former WGN.
Okay,
with his lovely wife Jill was there, and who else was there? Bruce Levine was at our table.
Bruce.
Yeah, Jeff Dickerson was at our table. Got to talk some Bears with JD.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was just going around the table. Bruce, who the Cubs going to deal? JD, what we got? What's this Mitch Trubisky situation?
Well, you should be all ready for the show today.
I'm ready to go.
I mean, you did all your prep at the wedding.
I was working hard. So congrats to you on Bike the Drive, Hoke. Way to get out there and represent. And congrats to Brent.
I've said this before, but when you get done with something like that by 9 o'clock in the morning,
you feel like you've done.
I mean, it's the greatest feeling
in
the world.
Right. I was leaving my apartment this morning, and huge rumble coming up the stairs. And I'm like, it's got to be my neighbor. She's got to have a bike, and she's got to have a bib, and she's done with Bike the Drive at 9:30. And there she was.
Yeah.
Just exhausted and carrying up. Like, you did Bike the Drive, huh? I did. How far did you go? 35 miles. I mean,
we didn't do the whole thing.
I mean, she went.
I would have loved to have done the whole thing. But I think we went pretty far, though.
You did a nice job. Good work.
Thank you.
And you learned something, too. Hey, make your Sundays... make Sundays your official night, I should say, to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. And you can stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. We'll get into the show. Coming back here, there's this thing called the NBA Finals. They actually start this week eventually. We'll get to them. I think they're going to play. So my sports life is on the line. It starts on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And Adam's going to support me, I think. 720 WGN. So we just watched the crash, Scott Dixon getting upended at the Indy 500 and flying through the air like he was shot out of a cannon.
I mean, it's a miracle he's okay.
How does that...
He walked into the ambulance. I don't get it. I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean, there's literally at one point a tire that looks like it's balancing on his head
on
in
his
midair.
Head. I know.
As he's probably, what, 15 feet high?
Man.
I mean,
that was scary. That was really scary.
I don't know anything about racing, but the open wheel racing has always been like just looks the most dangerous by far. There's nothing protecting you.
Have you ever been up close with the cars? I mean, they're just so cool. It's such a phenomenal piece of machinery. That's my car expertise going on right now. But when you look at it, like, oh, my God, you get in that thing and you race that thing.
But at least, like, the NASCAR.
Yeah, right.
The stock cars have a roll cage, you know?
Right. Right. Well,
this thing, he goes airborne and he hits the wall. And, I mean, it's amazing. He somehow flipped over and landed. The car did not land upside down when it finally came to the ground.
You ever been in the 500?
No.
Yeah, I've been there. It was a long time ago, though.
Don, you're like a little car racing fan up there, aren't you?
I enjoy it. Yeah, you know, I follow it a little bit. But, you know what? You can't describe. You can talk about it on the radio. You can even see it on the TV. But you cannot describe that sound, the feel. You feel those engines inside of you.
Yeah, it's a headache. So it's loud. Exhausting. It's like the worst experience ever. I don't get why any. I mean, you're sitting there with everyone's wearing earplugs. Like, you're going to events and
it's like a lawnmower that won't turn off for like 3 hours.
You actively make sure that you can't hear what's going on, and then you sit there and you drink and you watch cars go around the track and you hope for something to happen.
Total excitement.
You hope for this to happen.
You
hope for a guy to go airborne and almost die.
Do you really call it total excitement? Is that true?
It really is. It really. I think it is. Yeah.
I can't knock it. I've never done it.
Okay.
So I mean,
I'd love a further sales pitch on auto racing. 312-981-7200. Why would anybody ever find that entertaining? And I realize there are great people that do find it entertaining. I'm just trying to learn. I'm open. I want to learn.
One thing I do think will be entertaining if it ever starts.
Yeah.
Is the NBA Finals.
It starts on Thursday.
I don't believe you.
We're gonna talk to
when did the game end? When did the Eastern Conference Finals?
They're both off for 9 and 10 days.
What, didn't it end on Wednesday?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't remember. It feels like it was last season.
Listen, this is gonna be
Are my Labor Day plans going to be impacted by the NBA Finals?
Your Labor Day plans?
Yes.
No, they will not. But Father's Day
will. It
feels
like they will. Father's Day?
Father's Day will. That's game seven, buddy.
Father's Day? Sorry.
Yeah.
I got plans that day.
Seven players who made the All-Star team will be participating in the NBA Finals. Adam the Bull, who's very entertaining and hosts radio in Cleveland for the Fan, will be with us at 3:35 to get the LeBron James angle on it. We'll also preview Golden State. By the way, Stanley Cup playoffs start Monday night as well with the Penguins and the Predators. I think Blackhawks fans should feel better that Nashville is in the Stanley Cup Finals. I feel better about it. I mean,
I do too.
I mean, if you're...
They're playing great.
They are. And I saw there was a great piece today on PK Subban done on like the E60 show, Jeremy Schapp going in depth with PK and how he, you know, man of color in the NHL and grew up in Montreal, played for the Canadiens, traded by Montreal, made, you know, huge, huge donations to that community.
Yes.
That he's made. I mean, this guy, but a lot of hockey people do not like him because he's so expressive. Gets traded, goes to Nashville, and they had the least amount of points of anybody in the playoffs, but they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, they had high expectations this season, and quite frankly, we all in the city completely underestimated what was a talented group
of
hockey players because they underachieved. But I remember as we were previewing that series with Jim Diamond, the guy that looked like Joe Buck.
That guy was amazing. Bring him back.
You know, he said they were playing better going into that series, and the Hawks were coasting, and I mean, no one in the world thought it was going to be a sweep, but a couple people thought the Predators were going to win. I don't know how many people thought they'd be going to the final.
I don't think anyone picked them, if I remember going back on.
Greg Wyshynski from Yahoo Sports.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What's that, the Puck Daddy, Greg Wyshynski?
It is. That's the Puck Daddy.
No, the Puck Daddy.
That's
got
why
it right.
He's the Puck Daddy.
Let's get Pete in here, who loves auto racing and wants to contribute to WGN. What's up, Pete?
Hey, here's the reason why I kind of got into NASCAR. After, of course, spending 24 years in the Navy, sometimes in the South, where they don't care about the Super Bowl, the World Series. It's, you know, NASCAR first and everything else second. But then, when I was stationed in Norfolk, a couple of the Navy reservists that worked with me that were airline mechanics on the side worked for Roush Racing.
Uh-huh.
And I got to learn about how a car got put together from start to finish. There's different chassis for different tracks for each car. When they go down to Daytona in January, sometimes like in 2017, they're working for the rules in 2018 already that are going to change. And so it's just how a car gets from start to finish to a big old mass of nothing to put together to run on that certain track on that certain day.
What about
and how it's gonna run?
Well, Pete, what about like a grilled cheese sandwich? Like, I enjoy eating it, but the way it gets from, you know, the butter gets put on the bread and then the cheese gets inserted into the bread and then it's get put onto the grill. I mean, does it really make it interesting actually watching the grilled cheese get cooked, or don't you just want to eat it? Does that analogy make sense?
Didn't you ever remember go to those 24-hour where the guy cooked the same stuff on the same grill all night?
I did like watching.
Yeah, you like watching all that stuff, and he's got an omelet going here and a French toast going there and this going there, and by the end, it all gets to the right place. So, yes, of course, from start to finish, I mean, if you lose your curiosity in life, there's no sense living anymore. I mean, no matter what it is, if you're trying to learn something about how it works, that's okay. You know, just because it's not something you do doesn't mean it's wrong or it's not for somebody else.
Pete, you were meant to be on the show at this moment. You get Lou Malnati's for that. That was one of the great statements in American history.
In American history?
In human history.
I was going to say the beat history. I don't know about America.
That was huge. Pete, you just channeled your inner Pete better than anyone's ever done it. Good job, man.
Thank you.
Maintain your curiosity. It's important. Get bored with life. You're bored with yourself. You're boring. Learn about those chastis or whatever he was just talking about.
Yeah, I was bored for a while.
But no, Pete brought it home there.
And he finished strong.
And we were able
like an auto race would.
Right.
I do like the last two laps.
Plus,
it's the 370 before that I can't stand.
How about the way he tied in the grilled cheese? He just dove right in there and said the grilled cheese
is
like
auto. Him the biggest curveball I think you could ever throw. I mean, I lost you completely. I had no idea what you were talking about.
He
took it and went bam and then threw it right back in your face and closed hard.
You're the man, Pete. and a winner on 720 WGN. All right, we'll talk to Adam the Bull from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He's very entertaining. The NBA Finals start Thursday, 720 WGN. Don's News in 2 minutes. WGN. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. You grilling out tomorrow there, Adam Hoge?
That's a good question. Probably.
Little Monday Memorial Day?
Highly probable there will be a grill going on.
Right. Dan Long, you got big plans there, producer extraordinaire?
Big plans for afternoon drive here at GN. Brian Noonan in for Rokan.
Noonan in for Con tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Little afternoon Memorial Day?
A little bit, yep.
That's a big time scene there for you. If you want to come over in the morning, we'll make you a plate. I'm having a barbecue at my place. I'm just making that up. I have no ability to do any of that. I don't have a barbecue. I don't have friends. I don't know how to cook.
Well, you told me a few weeks ago you have a deck that you don't use.
I did use the deck yesterday morning. My neighbor and I share the deck.
Yeah, because you just let him have it.
Right. And so
I don't like that.
Well, she put out a nice table, a couple chairs. So on Saturday morning, yesterday, I made myself some breakfast, and I sat outside on the deck, had a little egg, had a little bagel, and I used my deck, Hoge. Are you proud?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My uncle was in town over the weekend.
Yeah.
Slept in the screened-in portion of our deck.
Hold on a second. You have an uncle who slept in the screened-in... And what did he sleep, on a lawn chair?
No, he brought a sleeping bag. He likes to camp. He's a big camper.
Your uncle brought a sleeping bag to your house, and he said, yeah. Is it cool if I sleep on your deck rather yeah. than a couch or a... Do you have a spare bedroom with a
yes,
bed?
Yes, Uncle Jeff, welcome to our house. Here's a nice bedroom. We, you know, got all nice and clean for you. Beds made. Towels. Here you go. Oh, it's a nice deck you got there.
Can I sleep on
I think I'm going to sleep out there.
Wow.
Which is good. I love it. I think it's great.
Hey, man. That's go Uncle Jeff. We're going to talk to Adam the Bull in a moment here. And as we get into the NBA Finals, we are aware that the Cubs are playing right now. They lead the Dodgers 1-0, top two. Wilson Contreras with a solo home run. And we're also aware the Cubs need to score more than one run and score a bunch of runs. They have been struggling to hit the baseball as of late. But taking on Clayton Kershaw today.
Good luck with that.
And, well, they beat him last year in Game 6 to go to the World Series. Well, so there's that memory.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
And your White Sox, Hoge.
Yep.
Huh? 7-1 up on Detroit.
They're having a decent week.
I mean, having a pretty good week.
What can I say? They're playing good baseball. I mean, they're not that great of a team overall. They're playing good baseball. I mean, the one thing, and obviously if you've been watching, Hawk says this every single game that he's calling. I mean,
anything's possible.
They don't quit.
They don't.
But they really don't. I mean, they've been in games where they went through that bad stretch. What was that, about a week ago? Week and a half ago?
Lost 3 in a row to the Diamondbacks. And they came back, took... Right. The first game's rained out, and they win the first game. Or, I'm sorry, they get the first game. The doubleheader on Friday got postponed one game. They win one game on Friday. They split yesterday.
There's been very few games all this season that the White Sox have not been in, like at all.
Yeah, and they're winning games. You know, they beat the Mariners in 10 in a one-run game. They come back the next day, beat them 16-1. They beat them 8-1. Like, the offense has been there.
Yeah.
Okay, White Sox, I see you.
There's still so many players on the team that I can't figure out are good. Like, is Yolmer Sanchez good? He seems like he's good. Avi Garcia, I think we're at the point where Avi Garcia might actually be... I just quit. I just jinxed that. It's going to pat.
I don't want to go too nuts on the White Sox, but 22-26 for the White Sox, isn't it? Like, people thought they would be at 48 games? I would have...
But I don't care about the record. I care about the players. Well, can Matt Davidson...
No.
Contribute.
I don't think so.
Can Avi Garcia, though? Is Avi Garcia a guy, he's on a one-year contract. Do you re-sign him or trade him?
I trade everybody. And I think one signing that's looking really good for the White Sox right now, and I think you can spin and get something and do like a Scott Feldman.
That's the comp.
Well, Derek Holland is that guy right now.
I mean, I don't think you're getting Jake Arrieta for him, but...
Jake Arrieta at that point was a guy that the Cubs sent to the minors. He was, that was a reclamation project of a top draft pick who was going to be great and wasn't, and the Cubs identified whatever they identified. That's the type of trade that Rick Hahn's got to make with Derek Holland.
Absolutely.
Maybe he can.
Maybe you could do that with Robertson.
Then that's another guy.
Robertson's got to be worth something. I still wonder if Todd Frazier comes around here in the summer months, that's a bat that some team's going to want for a pennant race, right?
I don't know, man. Todd Frazier's hitting what?
Well, right now he is, but I'm saying summer comes around here, the weather heats up, he has a good June and July. You don't think you can get a prospect for him?
I think
for a team that needs a bat?
I think you can get a mid-level prospect at best for Todd Frazier.
I'll take a low prospect that's going to take 3 years.
Sure, okay, yeah. You're going to get a name for Todd. You'll get a guy that has an actual first and last name for him. Yes, you'll get that. I don't think you're going to expect much more. What's Todd Frazier hitting? Is he even hitting 200?
What's wrong with a guy that only has one name? Like, what if they just get one of these soccer players?
We could have, you know what we could
just
do?
Like, just go get Ronaldo.
We could do Frazier versus Schwarber.
What's the point of that?
Well, I mean,
Schwarber's way better.
Yeah, well, look at their stats.
I see what you're saying.
Todd Frazier's hitting 181 with 5 home runs and 19 RBIs.
181, 5 home runs and 19 RBIs.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
That's terrible.
It's awful.
He had a home run today, though.
Good for him.
Does that count it in there? So I'm not sure if that's six home runs now?
It might be 6. I'm not sure if they updated. Kyle Schwarber versus Todd Frazier, one of the great games in WGN radio history. Kyle Schwarber, who, by the way, let me just put it out there. Joe Maddon absolutely had a negative impact on Kyle Schwarber by putting him in the leadoff hole. That did not help him.
I agree.
Kyle Schwarber versus Todd Frazier. Schwarber is hitting 3 points lower at 178 to Frazier's 181. Kyle Schwarber has a couple more home runs at 7 homers, and they have the same amount of RBIs as 19. Schwarber is Todd Frazier. That's terrible.
Except he's younger.
Except he's younger and perhaps could be great.
You still don't want to trade him?
And won the World Series over the Indians, where Adam the Bull does radio in Cleveland. How about that transition? 92.3, the Bull, the Fox, afternoons 2-7. What's up, Adam the Bull? Thanks for jumping on WGN.
Impressive, guys, and I apologize for the delay. How are you tonight, today?
You like that Schwarber-Todd Frazier comp right there?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, Schwarber's been terrible. He's killing me. What is going on with this team? I don't like anything they're doing right now.
You're
anything?
Listen, we won a World Series finally, so I guess I'm not as angry as I would be. But, like, there's not much. I don't like a lot about this team right now. They're really frustrated. I don't know what it is. So bizarre, right? But I guess that's baseball, right? We're watching it forever. It's so hard to predict. But, you know, the bullpen's been good. I like Wade Davis. The starting rotation's been pretty awful, except for John Lester. I know Hendricks has been better lately, but the advanced analytics will tell you it's not going to last, which makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And then the lineup's been bad, except, I mean, you know, Chris Bryant's been great. But a lot of guys are struggling. But they'll turn it around. It's going to be fine. They're going to win the division. Yeah, it's all right.
Adam the Bull, for those first hearing Adam the Bull on WGN, does radio in Cleveland, but it's a diehard Cubs guy. So
yes. And sorry to sidetrack you there.
No,
it's all good.
No, it's great. We're willing to be sidetracked.
We kind of teed you up there with some weird Todd Frazier, Kyle Schwarber.
That's right.
Who did that?
It sounds like something you would do, Carl.
Did I do that? That's terrible. Well, you're on today to talk about the NBA Finals, which starts Thursday. Yeah. How are people in Cleveland looking at this series? Because I look at it like the pressure's on Golden State. LeBron's playing with house money. He came back from 3-1 last year. And, you know, if I'm Cleveland, I'm thinking, oh, my God, the conversation is getting real with Michael versus LeBron. Michael, who torched us his entire career. And now we have a guy who is in the conversation with him, which is – that's got to be incredible for Cavs fans.
It really is. It's kind of surreal. I've been saying to fans lately, like, and I was never a big LeBron fan, as you mentioned. You know, I'm from Cleveland, but I mean, I work in Cleveland now 6 years, and I'm from here now. But I didn't grow up. I wasn't born and raised here, so I don't have a loyalty to the teams here. I didn't grow up rooting for any Cleveland team, so I'm not biased when it comes to this. But I was never a huge LeBron fan when he was younger. We all knew how great he was right in the beginning, but I was always one of the guys that was like, yeah, Kobe's better. And now it's like, it's really amazing how far he's come, right? Like, the questions about him earlier in his career, about, like, could he win the big one? Would he take the big shot? Does he have the killer instinct? I think those things are all gone. I mean, I think if you're questioning any of those things at this point, you're pretty much just a hater. And I hate to use that term because fans use that all the time, and it's such a lame term to use, but I will anyway. It is unbelievable. But what's weird is the playoffs have been so boring, and everybody's taken it all for granted here in Cleveland, like the rest of the playoffs. They haven't taken for granted what they're seeing in LeBron and what you now have in store for you in the finals. But the rest of the playoffs, there's been very little enthusiasm. It's hard to get excited when you feel like you have no chance to lose in these other rounds. I'm sure there's some of that in Oakland as well.
Adam, was there any sense? I mean, it's hard to be worried about a team that has lost one game, but I mean, was there any sense of worry that kind of picked up?
I was so happy when they lost.
I mean, they lose that game, the Celtics. It was lethargic. Yeah. It was whatever. I mean, I think most of the country just threw it out as it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as you start to look ahead to which is obviously a much tougher series here against Golden State, I mean, were there any warning signs in that series against Boston?
Not really. I mean, you know, who knows? LeBron sick? That's the big thing. We know Michael played great when he was sick. I don't know, but anyway, I think at this point LeBron deserves the benefit of the doubt. He has been the last 2 years, especially, but really since returning to the Cavs, he's been completely lights out in the playoffs and as reliable as it gets. So you think about the one game they lost where they played the bad second half. They barely lost a game where LeBron had about as bad a game as he could possibly play, and they still barely lost. And I know they didn't play great in the first half, especially the first quarter of game four, but then they really turned it on. I mean, think about this, guys. They played almost 144 minutes in Boston, and the Celtics never had one lead. What are the odds of that? Not one. Not 2-0, not 4-2. Not one lead in 144 minutes.
It's crazy.
That's pretty dominant, yeah.
So why do you think, because I'm trying to figure it out myself here,
yeah.
Why is Golden State, who, by the way, let's remind ourselves, they lost last year in the finals. Why are they such
right.
prohibitive favorites to beat the best player on the planet? Plus, you have two other All-Stars, and they're playing great. I don't get how this
yeah.
series is not a coin flip.
I don't get it either. I mean, I think Golden State should be favored because they have home court. And I think overall as a team, I think they're a little better, a little bit. But I think they're like a 55-45 favorite, and Vegas has got it like 75-25, really.
Which makes me think that makes me think the Golden State's going to win the series because Vegas knows something, but maybe they just don't. I don't know.
But weren't they – I mean, they were that big a favorite last year too, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, give or take, it was close.
And Cleveland's got the best player on the court.
Well, here's the thing. You're right. I'll tell you guys, the whole season, I thought I was going to pick Golden State to win in the finals. I really did. When the Cavs were terrible at the end of the year, I said on the air many times, Golden State's going to win the NBA championship. And even after Indiana in the first round, the Cavs swept them, but I didn't think they played great in that series. And I was like, I'm still leaning towards Golden State. Even after Toronto, I was still leaning. And I've been thinking about it more and more. And I'm picking the Cavs in seven, and here's why. Because even though I think the Warriors are a little more talented, I think Steve Kerr not being there is a big deal in clutch moments and big spots. And I think these games are going to be close. And in a close game,
right.
I trust LeBron and Kyrie more in a big spot. As great as Curry is, as great as Durant is, Klay Thompson, whatever, I trust if you're combining them all and you're saying, who do you trust the most in a big spot, I would put LeBron and Kyrie 1-2 over any of those guys. And I think game seven – probably close, low scoring, everybody's tight, everybody's nervous. I trust the Cavs in the end of the game more than I do the Warriors, even though the Warriors overall may be a little more talented.
I totally agree. If it's not a 120-point game and you're talking
right.
about a 105-102, every possession matters in the fourth quarter, I'm going with LeBron. I think you
– That's right.
It's just – you have to. And
You couldn't bet against Michael. LeBron has earned his place in the conversation. I think the dumbest thing about the Michael LeBron conversation is the people that say, oh, you can't compare. And you know, Michael people will say, oh, you can't compare. It's not even close. Or LeBron. If you say that, you're an idiot. I mean, it's close. It's a good debate. I don't think we can fully have the debate until LeBron retires. Because think about it, guys. If he doesn't win another championship in his career, versus say he wins three more and he finishes with six. We're going to look at that a little differently, one way or the other.
But
I know they're different types of players, but
well, they are. But you're hitting on something good here, Adam, because that's where I am. I'm at the point where, and we're here in Chicago, where it's really hard to have a civil conversation about this debate.
No,
my co-host here just will never, ever give it up
ever.
That MJ's not the greatest
I'm
player.
I'm irrational.
Of all time.
But
I'm at
rational.
The point where, look, I'm with you. We got to wait until this thing's over. However, we're at the point where I think it's time you start having this productive conversation. And that, to me, is a compliment to LeBron James. I start watching games in a way where when he has 11 points the other night and looks absolutely awful, it drove me to go to Basketball Reference and be like, hey, how many times am MJ score under 15? Like, I'm just curious. And I look at in a playoff game, and I look it up, and it was zero. And I tweeted that out, and it was like the universe exploded because people just get so freaking crazy about this. But in reality, the fact that LeBron's only done that six times under 15 points – in 209, now it's 211 playoff games, I think. That's incredible. That's a great number for him. It's not like every time you compliment or you make a point for MJ, it's like you're bashing LeBron. I just think we're at this point where it's okay to have a productive conversation and make comparisons because he's that good.
I think you're 100% right. I think MJ people get so mad if you say LeBron's better. It's almost like you think by saying LeBron's better, it means you think Michael sucked. I mean, which is ridiculous, or vice versa.
Right.
It's stupid. If I'm saying Michael Jordan's the second greatest player I've ever seen, or LeBron's the second greatest player I've ever seen, how is that an insult? I mean, it couldn't be further from the. But the numbers on LeBron are crazy. Obviously, he passed Michael for most points ever in the playoffs. I know he played more games, but he took less shots. You know, he's number, seven all-time, I think, in scoring, and has a chance to finish number one. Probably, if he stays healthy, there's probably a good chance he gets to at least three. He's 12th all-time in assists. The guy's a forward. He's 12th all-time in assists and will be top 10, top 8 before he retires. And obviously everybody ahead of him, they're all point guards. By the time he retires, he'll probably be top 30 or 40 in rebounds. So, I mean, think about that. That's crazy.
His numbers are they're unfathomable. They are. I mean, you're talking about a guy that came right out of high school. He's never been hurt, and he does everything. He's going to have every. I mean, MJ people are not going to win any argument. I'm talking to myself right now, based on the
stats,
numbers. Outside of 6-0 in the finals, and
right.
So that one they'll always have. Thank God.
I think it would be interesting, guys. I think it would be sorry to cut you off. I think it would be interesting, like. We saw when Michael, went to play baseball, whatever the hell happened there, right? And then and the Bulls were still good without him. Obviously, they didn't win a championship, but they were still a very good team without him. We don't really have that feel. People were like, well, the Cavs sucked when LeBron left. Yeah, but when LeBron left last time, they had nobody. That's not a fair comparison.
Right.
Like, I want to know if LeBron leaves, let's say, 4 years from now. I'll just throw that number out there. And Kyrie and Kevin Love are still really good, and they've brought in somebody else along the way. What do the Cavs look like then? That helps. That will factor into the argument, I think, as well.
Lot of layers. We are we're up against the break here, Adam. We always appreciate you joining, man. Great
guys.
Great to talk to
Cubs,
you,
man. Get it together, Cubs. Come on,
we'll be all right.
Please. Three-run homer for the Dodgers, as you say that.
Yeah, they just gave
him.
Did they just give that up to Kershaw? Whatever it was. Anyway, they're down 3-1.
Oh my God!
All right, guys. See you, Adam. Adam the Bull. 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. All right, we're way late. Let's take a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
Curry fires a three. He missed it. Loose ball tip. Grabbed by Spates. Spates fires. And this one is over. Believe it, Cleveland. Savor it. Soak it in. The kid from Akron has come home. The Cavaliers are NBA champions. And the impossible dream has come true.
They are, quote unquote, the champs. They have the ring in their pocket from last year. For us to get back on top of the perch, they're the team we have to go through with all the storylines from the last 24 months in there, so it's going to be fun.
Go get them, Steph. Steph Curry. Last year's NBA Finals, Game 7. Cavs coming back from 3-1 down to do it. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. Dan Long producing, 720 WGN. Connor Letourneau. He's a great writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's covering the Golden State Warriors. And I hope he's going to make me feel comfortable that Golden State's actually going to win this series and I don't have to listen to more LeBron versus MJ comparisons. Connor, it's all on your shoulders right now because I don't feel super comfortable even though the Warriors are heavy favorites. How are you – as I got a million questions here, but just at the start here, how are you sizing up the series right now? Is Golden State in the best place they could be all season long and playing better basketball than they ever have?
No, they're in a phenomenal place, not just because they're playing the best basketball they've played all season, but they're really well rested. They haven't played a lot over the past 6 weeks or so, and you know, they're healthy. I think they're in a much better spot than they were a year ago at this time. And looking at the series a little bit, I think it's going to live up to all the hype. I think it's going to be a phenomenal battle between the two best teams in the league, but I'd be surprised if the Warriors didn't come out on top.
Connor, it's kind of crazy that you can say that we're here at the NBA Finals and the Warriors haven't played a whole lot of basketball. I mean, but it's the truth. It's the truth because it's just been I just hope that you're right and that this turns out to be a really good series because the playoffs so far have been a complete dud. And I think we kind of all knew this, that these were the two best teams that were probably going to meet in the finals again. And it just wasn't that exciting to this point. So let's hope it is an even series. How do you see the matchups between these two teams? And, you know, I think I agree with you that the Warriors are ultimately going to win out, but why do you think that this is a better matchup in a series that should actually live up to expectations?
Yeah, I think the Warriors, I mean, first of all, never underestimate LeBron James in the playoffs. You'd be silly to do that. He's playing the best basketball, arguably, of his entire career, which is saying a lot. But the Warriors just have more at their disposal. I mean, everyone knows the storyline at this point, but this is a team that won 73 games last year and then added Kevin Durant. And they have, on top of that, they still have a pretty darn good bench. Guys like Andre Iguodala and Ian Clark and JaVale McGee, guys who've proven that they can help in spots. So I think just on paper, they're a deeper, more dynamic team than the Cavs. The Cavs play kind of a similar style, actually, in a lot of ways, offensively at least, to the Warriors. They shoot a lot of threes. And the thing about the Warriors that a lot of people may not realize is they actually have the best perimeter defense in the league. So I see them, you know, doing a good job along the perimeter against the Cavs, which is really going to hurt their ability to stay in these games. But I see it going at least six games. This is going to be a good finals.
Who do you think starts out on LeBron? Obviously, they can put maybe five different guys on him at some point in the game, but who do you think is going to get the bulk of the time guarding him?
Well, I guess he can't start out on LeBron because he doesn't start games, but I think Andre Iguodala is going to get a bulk of that responsibility. He obviously did in the finals last year and was uneven, and I think he's motivated to kind of help make up for that. But Klay Thompson's another guy who's
hold on a second here.
At times.
Let's talk Iguodala because I need to know how his knee is, and the guy can't shoot right now. So if you're going to have him out there a ton, that makes me nervous because he's, 3 for 27 from three in the playoffs. And I don't know, in your mind, Connor, is he healthy? Because he's missed time here.
Yeah, he didn't look great, obviously, in the San Antonio series. I think it was game two that he missed, and then game three he came back and looked horrible. He didn't look healthy. He looked better in game four, though. I think they were encouraged about that. And obviously he has all week to kind of heal that. He's a guy who it always seems like he has a minor injury, but he has been great for them this season. A lot of people think he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year. And even if his shot isn't falling, he's a guy who can still help them defensively and, for that matter, facilitating as well. So he's going to be a key player for them in this series. And I think that he'll definitely be tasked with helping shut down LeBron, which is, you know, no one can really shut him down, but, you know, quell the beast that is LeBron James.
Is Draymond Green going to keep his head? Because if he doesn't, that's a problem.
Well, if you look at this season, I think he learned a lot from what he went through last season in the finals and really in the summer as well. And he's done a much better job of reining in his emotions, picking his spots, his technical fouls were down this year, and in the finals, in the playoffs, he's only gotten one technical this entire postseason, which is a far cry from last year. So he's not at risk of getting suspended for these finals. So that's some progress. But LeBron definitely brings it out in him. So I wouldn't be shocked if he went off one or two times.
Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. Joining us now on the beat, Kevin Durant joining this team this year. What is your sense being around the team all year? Kind of the perception, the reaction. I mean, it was obviously the biggest story of the last offseason. But I think it's turned a lot of people off on the Warriors. Just kind of, and this happens in every sport. I mean, when you become the hunted, and then you add pieces to that, you kind of get labeled as the team no one likes anymore. And the Warriors, I feel like, quickly went from this awesome, fun team to watch all the time. And don't get me wrong, I still think they're really fun to watch. But it just seems like the perception kind of changed after Durant made that controversial decision that he made.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I definitely think that is the perception you see maybe on ESPN and that's kind of what people believe they're known for, is being the villains, and they have that moniker. But as someone who went on the road with them this season and was at every road game, very rarely did they get booed. And in fact, at a lot of these road arenas, you saw as many, if not more, Warriors jerseys, specifically Steph Curry jerseys, as the home crowd. So it's hard to say, from my perspective, that they really have that perception, because I think they're loved as much, if not more, than they're hated. If you really look at it from a countrywide standpoint.
What do you think's going on with Klay? Has not been shooting well.
Yeah, he's been awful with his shot. This is by far his worst playoffs shooting the ball. The thing about Klay is he'll have a bad game here and there, but he's pretty good at bouncing back, and you just haven't seen that in these playoffs. The thing that he does have going for him is he's been great defensively for them. I think he's been as good defensively for them as he has been his entire career. He completely shut down Patty Mills in the Western Conference Finals. He was really good on Gordon Hayward and Joe Johnson in the second round, and he was really good on Lillard and McCollum in the first round. So if he can keep doing that, and they have everyone else making shots the way they've been, they're still in pretty good shape.
You can follow Connor on Twitter @con_cron, and you've got a great piece on there on Kevin Durant, following up on what Adam was just talking to you about, and how he has been embraced by the community, is giving back to the community charity-wise, and also that, hey, I didn't come here to go to the NBA Finals. I came here for a lifestyle change, and I also came here to win it. I think the pressure's on KD and the Warriors to win the series here, but more importantly than any of, like, who's got the pressure or whatnot, how's your experience been with him, Connor? Have you enjoyed KD?
I have. He's a really interesting, complex guy, and I still don't feel like I fully know or understand him, but it's been fun kind of peeling back the layers. I think he's a really good person at his heart, at his core. He's also someone who I think is very sensitive and will tell you that, and takes us all very personally. I think being the villain this season has been tough on him at times, but I think he's starting to kind of move forward and get past that.
How's our guy Steve Kerr doing? Not expected a coach, right? That's done?
Well, it's not officially done. Okay. There's still a possibility. I would be absolutely shocked if he returned at any point in these finals. By all accounts, talking to people in the organization, he's not feeling much better. He had a procedure earlier in the month at Duke on his spine, and hoping that would lead to some revelations, and it didn't. He's still not feeling great. So I would be really surprised. And also on top of that, even if he was feeling better, it's hard for me to believe that Steve, being someone who doesn't like necessarily being the focus of attention, taking the spotlight, would return at this point, knowing that the storyline would suddenly become Steve Kerr returns for the finals rather than focusing on his team. So even if he was feeling better, I'd be surprised if he came back. And I, on top of that, don't think he's feeling better. So I don't expect him to be back.
You might not know the answer to this question yet, but, I mean, is there any long-term concern with him, I mean, going beyond this season?
Definitely. I mean, it's been almost 2 years now that he's had this chronic pain, and it hasn't really gotten much better. I mean, he's been able to manage it to the point where he can kind of get through a regular season, but it's not going away, and he doesn't know what the answer is, and that's definitely scary. I think he's going to spend a good chunk of this offseason trying to figure out if he can really give coaching another shot. There's a good chance that he may never coach again. But you don't know. It's hard to speculate, but it'll be interesting to see what happens this summer.
That's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Because, I mean, Steve Kerr's obviously loved here in Chicago, but he's, he's
great credit for the game.
Thoughtful guy who says a lot of good things even beyond basketball. So that would be a bummer if that's the case.
See, you got the Warriors in six, yeah. Connor. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I'll say Warriors in six. That would be my early guess.
All right. I'm going to hold you personally accountable if this doesn't happen, Connor.
Our Cleveland guest said Cavs in seven, so no shock there.
Connor, I need you. ask good questions. Support these guys. The world, the basketball world, us Michael fans, we are counting on Golden State to get it done this year. Thanks for jumping on WGN, Connor. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Connor Letourneau at @con_cron.
Well, Carm, I think we've done a phenomenal job of previewing this series. I think we have covered every. I mean, I just cannot wait for this thing to get underway tonight. It's great.
Wait,
we have five more days. This thing doesn't start for five more days.
It's
still
Thursday. Did you?
Oh my God!
Did you know that the Warriors have set 40.8 ball screens per game? That's the fewest in the playoffs. But they've scored 1.24 points per possession after setting a ball screen, which is the best mark in the playoffs.
So set more screens.
Why don't you set more screens? Andre Iguodala.
You sound like the guys they play basketball with every week.
Andre Iguodala, 3-for-27 from three. That is the worst mark among 59 players with 25 three-point attempts in the playoffs. Yet he's going to be guarding LeBron. And then they're going to stand there and let him go. You're wide open. Go ahead and shoot it. And then it's going to clang off the rim, and they're going to go the other way, and it's going to be layup central.
You're worried.
And yeah,
you are worried.
I am.
I could just tell in the way you were asking Connor those questions.
I need Connor. I need comfort.
Is Iguodala's knee going to fall off?
I'm looking for security. I don't think I got it right there, although Connor seems at least remotely confident. Hey, Jared Payton's coming up at 4:35.
Really?
We're going to talk some football. You had an interesting piece on Kevin White, did you not?
Yeah, and how they're once again not helping this guy.
Well, why don't we explain that coming back, and then we'll have JP coming on at 4:35, right after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN.
Celebrate your love for literature with Rita Dove, Jonathan Safran Foer, and Scott Simon. Visit PrintersRowLitFest.org for tickets. Back here on the beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here with you. Happy Memorial Day Sunday. Weather's cooperating so far. Although my dad sent me a photo or posted on Facebook of, like, I showed it to you. It looked like doom.
Is there a fire at the White Sox game?
Guaranteed right field, like. It's been sunny down here. We're not that far away from... I, you know what? This is bothering me. I keep wanting to call it the cell. And I just need to be able to talk. What am I supposed to call it?
You can call it the cell. It's fine. You can call it Comiskey Park. You can call it the Great. You can call it Guaranteed Rate Field.
Hashtag fly the arrow.
You can call it Sox Park.
No, you can't call it that. I'm anti-Sox Park. All right, let me explain this Kevin White thing before we have Jared Payton on.
Okay.
And ask him his opinion.
Cubs are down 6-1, by the way. Lester just gave him another 3-run homer. They're going to get swept by the Dodgers after getting swept by the Yankees after having a 7-2 homestand. Go on.
And they're going to win the NL Central.
Okay.
Let me set this up by saying...
Man, did that go by fast. Holy cow.
Ooh, Lester is hot at the umpire. He is hot.
Well, maybe he should pitch better.
Maybe give a guy a call. He's Johnny Lester, man. 3-4. Continue on. Don't listen to the Cub game. Listen to us.
So Kevin White has broken his leg twice in 2 years. The way the Bears have handled these broken legs has been well documented. Trying to pass it off as a shin injury at first, not a big deal. Turns out he's out for the year. That was year one. Year two, they chalk it up to an extremely bad sprained ankle. Chance he'll come back. Never was coming back. From what we understood, he was close to 100% when the season ended, or getting there. And by OTAs, 5 months later, I'm talking about this is in January, 5 months later, was going to be good to go. Okay?
They don't hit at OTAs, correct?
No hitting. They wear helmets.
He's just running routes.
He's just running routes. There's not a whole lot of risk, injury risk here. Okay? So Monday was the first OTA practice. Tuesday was the second one. They're not all open to the media. There's one every week that's open. So Monday was not open to us. Tuesday was. We get out there Tuesday, and Kevin White's not practicing. He's out there, but not practicing. Well, that's weird. Expectation was he was going to be out there practicing. Not out there practicing. Mike Glennon gets to the podium after practice, reveals that Kevin White practiced on Monday. Not practicing on Tuesday. John Fox, in his John Foxian ways, vague answers. Says he's the same as every other player that's being held out because they had an injury last year. First of all, right there, he's not the same. This is a number 7 overall pick 2 years ago that's played 4 out of 32 games. Will you please stop pulling your elbow? It's driving me crazy.
I'm massaging my elbow. I got a bursa sack. I can't help it.
You have a knot on your elbow the size of a baseball.
I'm trying
more accurately, that's legitimately the size of a golf
ball.
I'm
trying to massage it out as
and
I listen to your Kevin
White.
You
spent the whole show pulling on it, and it's disgusting.
This is what I've been told to do. This is what
really? That's what they told you to do?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a thing, but I'll stop. I don't want to distract you on your Kevin White. No, no, no. You don't want to touch this thing. It's just nasty. I got a balloon in my elbow.
It's really. And you got to post a picture of that to Twitter.
Okay. I'll put it out there.
I mean, it is bad. At the Carm.
I don't
want to. Put it up. Do it. At the Carm. Our listeners need to see it.
I can't believe you guys got distracted by my bursa.
Oh, it's that distracting.
Okay, it's going up.
Bottom line is,
yes,
I follow up with John Fox. Hey, do you realize how Kevin White not practicing and getting vague answers about why he's not practicing is going to be met with skepticism, considering he's only played 4 out of 32 games?
What'd he say?
I can't control what people think or feel. Just that he was injured last year, he came off of surgery, and we've got 6 or 7 others of those. It's really the same as everybody else. It is not the same as everybody else. Would you agree with that?
I would.
It's not the same as everybody else. And this is something that either John Fox really doesn't understand, but I think he's been in the league long enough that he does understand and he just doesn't care. But John Fox absolutely can have an impact on what fans think and feel. He's the voice of the team every single day during the season. And once again, I feel like the Bears unnecessarily have created a cloud over Kevin White's health.
Let's talk to Jared Payton coming back, and I completely agree. I don't like...
There's 20 other ways they could handle this. And it would have come off better than it did on Tuesday. Anyway, we'll be right back. 720 WGN.
It is 720 WGN, 439. Congrats to the Wildcats making it as far as they did. And what was that, the Big Ten baseball tournament up there, Don Norton?
Yes, going. Did I say basketball?
No, I don't think you did.
Felt like it. I may have started it, but it is the baseball tournament. I think they beat Maryland 6-5 first today, and then I'm kind of trying to grab this from memory. And then they came back and and lost to they beat Maryland 6-5 in the first game, and then Iowa beat Minnesota 7-5, and then Iowa came back 5 runs in the first inning for Iowa. Tough to come back from that.
Don, I'm not in charge, but if I could give you a raise, I would. This is impressive.
Thanks.
That's some serious detail right there. It is the beat. Congrats to the Cats, and congrats to you, Adam Hoge, for your piece on Kevin White, detailing how the Bears are not helping out their, the first ever number one pick for Ryan Pace and company. Jared Payton, are you there? Have you joined the program, sir?
What's going on, fellas?
Look at you.
JP!
Hey, guys.
JP,
what was your reaction to the Kevin White news this week?
First off, let me say hello to both of you. And I've actually been listening for the last 45 minutes, and you guys have had great conversation. I think the best conversation has been the football stuff, just because Adam Hoge is probably one of the best writers in the Chicagoland area. Just want to put that on record.
What about my Bursa sack?
That's nasty. I just looked at it on Twitter. Yeah.
Did you immediately block him on Twitter?
I didn't, Hoge, but I don't know why you encouraged him to put that on Twitter. It's nasty.
Because I have to, Dan Long and I have to sit here and look at it for 3 hours. Someone else needs to look at it, too.
I'm a little neurotic. I don't know if you are aware of that, JP. And I was told to massage out the Bursa. Do you have to get the fluid in there needs to move in a general direction, up or down the arm?
I hate to tell you, Carm.
Yeah.
I haven't – you showed that to me 2 weeks ago. I don't think the massaging is working.
No,
it looks like it's getting bigger.
I've never massaged it to the level that I'm massaging it now, though. This is an extremely aggressive massage. I think you all should be proud of me, and I'm trying to get myself healthy, and – as far as discussing things that I do, this is really nowhere close.
I'm glad we're carrying this discussion out
Don.
As we can.
Thank you, Don.
Well, look, I asked Carm if he was going to get it drained, and his response was, no, I will die if I get it drained.
I was told that it would get infected if I got it drained, most likely. Unfortunately, and by accident, in my neuroses here, I took the pen that I've been writing with, and I poked at it, and I think I might have punctured the thing.
There's people that are eating right now.
No one's eating right now. No one's eating right now. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Jared, how many starts? You guys want to talk football, so let me ask you this question. How many starts is Mike Glennon going to make this year? You both can answer that.
Well, from the things that I hear, I wasn't able to be at OTAs, but I think there's something in Mike Glennon that – I mean, he's handled himself pretty well from everything that's happened, over from being at the draft party to having Mitchell Trubisky being drafted second overall, and people just looking at him like he's crazy at a party, to how he's handled it, saying that this is my season. I think he's going to start the whole year, man. I don't see them really trying to – if something drastic happens, I just don't see any – I think this is actually his year. Hoge, you could tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think the answer is we don't know, because if Mitch Trubisky performs well in practice and looks like he's ready, then I think they make that move. Now, if Mike Glennon's healthy – then I think he's going to get every opportunity to keep starting. But you don't draft a guy number 2 overall. The reason Mike Glennon's here is because now they don't have to force Trubisky in there early. But if that guy is looking the part in practice and is understanding the offense, and the Bears coaches feel comfortable putting him out there, and the Bears are, 3-7? Going into week 11 or whatever it is at that point, I mean, why would you not play Trubisky then if you feel like he's ready and you're 3-7?
I know. It's such a
– you got to get him out there.
You do got to get him out there. I think that's kind of the scary part, is a lot of Bears fans are kind of hoping, that I've talked to, they're hoping that he gets this whole year off, because, I mean, it's going to be inevitable to be able to see if he's going to be the guy, and we'll be able to see it real quick. And we see sometimes with quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks coming in, if they don't have a great system around them, you guys, they have the opportunity to be not successful. And I think that's maybe what scares people. But hey, if you go to draft him, you think he's your guy, and the Bears clearly think that he is the guy for the future, and he's showing promise, then I think you have to be able to roll with him some point in time next year.
Kevin White, I do want to hear your thoughts, because I thought it was – It was tough because you don't want to overreact to one practice when you only get to see one of three in a week. But I did not think Tuesday was a good sign to not see Kevin White out there, and I don't think the Bears handled it well.
No, I'm totally with you and your piece. It doesn't help out at all when you have a guy that was supposed to come in 2015 and be that guy who could – hopefully you could actually move on from Alshon Jeffrey or whatever they were going to do, but a guy that was supposed to have promise. But I think people forget, Hogue and Carm, that he was so much of a project when he came in and you were hoping that he could develop, but the injuries haven't helped out, and I think the Bears haven't helped out as well when you're looking at a guy who – I mean, at the receiver position, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who is your number one. I don't know who the number one is. And to people that I hear say, well, coming into this season, Kevin White has the opportunity to be the number one. He hasn't shown enough, but the Bears haven't helped him out at all either with the answers that they give to the questions that, you know, Hogue and some of our other counterparts are giving them at practice. Listen, this is OTAs. We're not getting ready for the football season right now. There should be no reason to be holding back on information. And when you're doing that to a guy that was out there the first day, second day, he's just sitting there watching and you give those vague answers, then people start poking, digging deeper, and that's when stories start to circulate. And it just doesn't help out anyway. And I still don't understand how John Fox does his business when it comes to injuries and all that stuff. I can understand during the season, but right now it doesn't make sense to
me. Well, right. For him to say that it's like everyone else who got hurt last year and that they're being cautious with, it's just not the same. It's not the same. It's a number one overall pick 2 years ago, or number seven overall pick 2 years ago, that hasn't played. And it's just not going to be handled the same way. And it's crazy to me they haven't figured that out by now. But even more so, the thing that's so weird about this to me is if you just came out with some transparency for once, and I know that's not what the NFL is, but if you just come out and you say, if the case is that you're trying to be careful, that, okay, he practiced yesterday, we thought he looked great, and we want to give him we're just going to be careful here at the beginning, we didn't want him practicing back-to-back days, I think most people would have been fine with that.
That's perfect.
Just say that. Say that. He's coming off two broken legs, and we're going to be careful. Just say that. I mean, that's what I know. Or, it was raining Tuesday. The surface was wet. We want to be careful. Fine, then say that. What they did, in my head, as I'm standing there, did he get hurt on Monday?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my question. Did he get hurt on Monday?
I think he did.
And we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. Well, I mean, Tuesday I'll be back out there. And if he's still not out there, that's a huge red flag. If he's back, then maybe maybe he's fine. And that's what I wrote. Maybe he's fine. Maybe he's not. But my issue is they're just not doing Kevin White any favors. He already has all this pressure on his back. He wants to deliver. He's a guy that's sensitive to this kind of stuff. And he really is a hard worker, a good kid, who wants to deliver on the expectations that were set when he was drafted number 7 overall. Give the kid a break. Help him out.
Yeah, and I just don't know what we can actually expect out of him, Hogue.
I don't either at this point.
I don't know, and I feel bad because of all the expectations of coming into, one of these premier, organizations that has been around forever and that people talk about, one of the historic franchises, and there's so much pressure that's put on you when you're even drafted in the first round, and now with all these injuries, I just don't know realistically what we can truly expect from a guy that was supposed to, the ceiling was, I don't know, as Michael Jordan said, the ceiling's the roof.
I got to tell you something. I'm getting a lot of texts right now on my burst of sack. There's a lot of concern out there. JP, you're an athlete. I'm wondering what John Fox would say about my burst of sack. Like if Fox went up to the media and Hogue asked him, "Hey, I hear you do radio with this guy.
You're like everybody else."
I mean, this burst of sack isn't like everyone else though.
No, this is a perfect John Fox injury though, cuz he could say for 3 weeks now that you're day to day.
Yeah,
you're clearly not day to day. You have a golf ball in your elbow.
JP, have you ever had one of these?
No, never. I take care of myself.
What does that mean?
I mean, I eat right. I exercise. I don't play a lot of tennis.
Isn't your neck jacked up from playing college football / professional football, for that matter?
First of all, my brain's always been messed up. So yeah, I mean,
I said neck.
Oh, neck. Well, yeah. I always think of neck, head injury, same thing.
No, it's just interesting that you jumped right to the head there.
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of concussions, so.
How many concussions do you think you've had?
I would have to say anywhere between six.
Oh.
Yeah, probably so.
That you know of?
That I know of. I mean, any time that you put on a helmet and you go out and you run into somebody, I mean, I always think of football players not being all right in the head, but yeah, you never really know. I had two in high school and then some in college as well, and then I know one for sure when I was in Tennessee.
Well, this conversation has turned really serious, but... But for real, I have an honest question. Yeah. I mean, do you feel any side effects from that?
Yeah, I do. Every once in a while, what I try to do, and you get people think I'm crazy, but it's really the same way that I work out my body, I try to do with my brain. So I do a lot of those apps on the phone to be able to keep my brain sharp. And there was a point in time where I suffered from a lot of headaches and migraines, and I'm very, very sensitive to light. Everybody thinks because I wear the blue blockers just to be cool. It's actually like the only pair of glasses I can wear when it's sunny out and not have to squint my eyes or get a headache. So
you do look cool, though.
You don't have to wear anything to look cool. So, you're just cool.
So yeah, it's a weird deal. And I just was honored this week, last Thursday, for the University of Miami alumni chapter in Chicago, and a lot of guys like John Vilma and Greg Olson came back, Ted Hendricks, historic Hall of Famer. They all came back, and we were watching videos, and I'm 36 years old, and I'm looking at videos of me just running into people, and I'm going, what was I thinking? And it's crazy now to look back on it, and every time that I would watch myself get tackled, I felt, you know, a hamstring or injury or something like that.
Right? You could take yourself to that exact moment.
Yeah, to the exact moment.
That's weird.
But, you know, you just have – it's the greatest game. And I just think that if you ask a lot of these guys that are dealing with stuff – I mean, everybody deals with stuff differently, you know? I mean, I was – just saw Jim Brown and all those guys at the Super Bowl. And, you know, those guys, I asked them about how they feel. And everybody feels different. Some guys, their body hurts, their head's fine. So you just never really know. And these concussions just affect everybody so differently.
Who just had a heart attack? Somebody famous – I don't know. A
football player?
I don't think it was. I'll do a little Google search. Doesn't matter whoever it was.
Cortez Kennedy.
Cortez just
passed. He's a University of Miami alum. So, yeah, he just passed away.
48 years old. That's not who I was talking about. But somebody had a heart attack recently, and to what you're talking about, like, you can feel it. Now, that actually happened to you. But when somebody has a sickness around me, particularly like a heart attack, I feel like I'm having one myself. Like, do you guys do that? Do you have that level of hypochondria or whatever, or paranoia or whatever you want to call it?
You're saying that when you witness somebody having a heart attack, feel like
yes. If I hear, like, if it's somebody that matters to me and they just have, like, a heart attack and I have, like, any connection to them whatsoever, I start to feel it myself. Like, I get tight.
Your elbow looks like it's having a heart attack right now.
My elbow is in deep trouble. It's warm to the touch. I might have to go back to urgent care. All right. Jarrett, have a great – what's on the show tonight? Who's doing the sports feed?
Oh, man, I'm actually solo tonight. Kevin Powell's going to be on with me from WGN Radio. We'll talk a little baseball with him, and then Mike Pendleton is coming on from ChicagolandRadio.com and talking some MMA and also some Bears football.
All right, 6 o'clock, baby. We'll see you there.
All right,
Bears.
Guys. See ya.
Jarrett Payton over at the TV station getting ready for the show. Listen, I apologize for everything that's happening today. I apologize for the Bursa. But it's, you know, I'm not going to apologize actually for it, but the fact that I'm
worried about you.
I'm worried about me too, pal. Can you imagine carrying this thing around? And I've been going to get that, what is that tape that they put on there? The tape you see athletes wearing on the shoulder.
Yeah, the kinetic tape.
Kinetic tape.
Kinesio or whatever.
Kinesiology,
you know what
kinetic tape. Right, that. I've been getting that put on there twice a week. This guy's convinced it's going to, hey, it'll go away. Let me put it on this way. Let me put it on that way. Let me try this one. Won't go away.
That thing's so big, it looks like it's weighing your elbow down, like your whole arm down.
If this thing got drained, I'd go from 180 to 176. I'd be at my target weight. That's what I'm rolling around with. It's extra pressure on my knees. I'm carrying this, you know, extra weight. It's not good for me.
You're going to start leaning to the left.
Right. If there was a stair climb right now, I'd be compromised.
Your equilibrium is off.
Everything about me is completely
lefty.
Disheveled. All right, we got to go. News is coming right up. 720 WGN. Text line 3012. Carm, oil of eucalyptus and boswellia oil mixed in almond oil and wrapped in gauze will take the swelling out overnight. My 70-year-old mother uses it. It works 100% every time. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to get... Where do you even go to get the oil of eucalyptus and the boswellia oil? Mix it in an almond oil?
I think you gotta find those guys that hang out under Lower Wacker.
They have that type of stuff down there?
214 wants me to...
Stick me with your pen.
It's right in the elbow.
It's not nice.
He thinks there's gravy in your elbow.
I had that salad dressing last night. It was very good, actually.
Yeah. 100% it works. It works 100% every time.
I believe that formula.
I believe it too. Sure.
60% of the time, it works all the time.
Don, do you know where to get the oil of eucalyptus? You're a guy that knows how to get things.
I do not. I do not. But I'll bet it'll cost you.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Getting a lot of suggestions on how to save Carm's elbow.
Save me. Thank you. I appreciate all the suggestions. And apparently don't go to Whole Foods, whole paycheck. Just go to Walgreens and you'll get that eucalyptus oil for a lot less money. Thank you very much.
312 says you can do it the cheap way.
What is that, the habanero guy?
Buy two habanero peppers.
I would do
just
that.
Just rub those right on the elbow.
Rub a habanero pepper on the elbow? Does that really work? I'll believe anything.
I think
at this
should try everything our text line says. Couple opportunities for you to contribute to the program right now. 312-981-7200.
We need your help.
Carm,
I need your help.
Carm has a... Why don't you show the people out on Michigan Avenue what's going on with your elbow?
Look at that bursa.
Yeah.
Oh, he just had a nasty...
You just ruined that guy's day.
Is that disgusting?
Wonderful.
Thank you, Raymond.
It's wonderful.
He gave me a look of complete horror as I lifted up the elbow to the window. Oh, I was like looking in at the Allstate Showcase studio having a great moment. And the weird guy on the radio just lifted up his elbow at me and it's bigger than
He's walking away like he's going to throw up.
Never coming back to this radio station or listening to it.
Welcome to my last 3 hours of my life.
I apologize. Have a great day.
All right. There is some actual sports conversation here I want to get to. Because while that elbow is causing me pain and you actual... I don't know. Does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
I'm enjoying it.
But it's causing me pain looking at it. The Cubs game seems to be causing a...
They're rolling. They're only down 6-4. Runners at second and third. If anything happens, we'll tell you right here.
But you don't seem to be enjoying this. And Adam the Bull, who we had on to talk Cavs from Cleveland earlier in the show, huge Cubs fan. I believe his direct quote was, and by the way, the ball girl down the line made an incredible play in this game.
I want to be a ball girl so bad. Just to hang out.
Dan,
and,
can you pull that, please? Thank you.
I just want to hang out and make diving plays from the ball girl seat. Wouldn't that be fun?
She just made a tremendous play.
I would love to show people what I could do.
You would get like your one moment to just make
right
incredible play,
like line shot coming at you.
ESPN top 10,
you snare it.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, I'm with you on that. As two people who still love to play sports and live out our non-professional sports,
I'm looking
dreams.
For any avenue where I could do it. Continue on. I'm sorry.
Adam the Bull said he doesn't like anything about this team. That was like basically a direct quote.
Yeah, I think he said that no one's playing well outside of KB and John Lester, who lasted 3 1/3 today and threw 76 pitches and is out of the game.
But you said this during a break earlier to me that you thought after they won the World Series you would never care that much again.
I didn't.
You care a lot right now.
That was my take. That, listen, if they win the World Series, I'll never watch baseball the same. I'll always just enjoy it. It won't be stressful. And I'll be forever grateful. But that's not what's happened. I was dead wrong about myself on this one. I absolutely am very invested in them going back to back. Now, maybe it's because I keep telling people that I'm predicting a three-peat, so my own opinion is on the line. But I'm all in, man. I've been sweating out games in May. What's today? May the 27th? I'm sweating it. 28th, whatever it is.
So here's what I'm getting at. On the other side of town, the White Sox are now 23-26. Not great, but higher, but more wins than most people thought.
Yes.
And I said earlier in the show, and I don't really care about the record. I honestly had to look it up to even know where they were. What I'm enjoying about this White Sox team is just the way they're playing. I am all in on this rebuild, which I've been calling for years. I understand that most of these players playing right now are not going to be on the team that eventually competes. And yet, I'm enjoying this White Sox season more than anyone I can remember since 2008.
Because you don't have the stress of trying to win games? Is that why?
That's part of it.
But you don't even have the young guys up here who are going to be here.
But here's a perfect example. I think it was in Seattle, I want to say. There was a game recently. It was a late night game, so it must have been on that West Coast trip, where they came back and tied it, I think, 4-4. And they weren't able to take the lead, and it went in extra innings. And it was late. I mean, I stayed up to about midnight to see that part. And you know what? I turned the game off, and I go, that was great. I just watched, like, 2 hours of them playing great baseball. They tied it up, and I can go to bed without having to stay up till 2 a.m. to see how this thing finishes because it doesn't matter. I mean, this is a great baseball viewing experience. So here you have the Cubs who are competing, and I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. That's not the point of me bringing this up. I'm just saying this is how I'm viewing baseball in Chicago right now in 2017. Cubs fans are stressed out. This team should be better. There's no question about it. I maintain that they're going to win this division and be fine. I don't know if they're going to win the World Series.
I think that some Cub fans are stressed out. Like, there's others that
I think most are stressed out.
I've talked to a couple, like, I don't really care right now. I just don't. They want it, and maybe I will again, but right now I don't. There's that guy's out there, maybe not as big of the...
Well, by the way, the real fan should care. In 2006, when White Sox blew their lead in the division and didn't win after being clearly the best team at the All-Star break, I was so mad. I was incredibly mad. That team was better than the 05 team on paper, and they didn't make the playoffs despite winning 93 games. You should care. I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's just it's how I'm viewing this baseball season. It's very interesting to me. The Cubs have the better team. They're competing, and it seems like White Sox fans are actually having a better experience.
So I'm not supposed to have a meltdown right on the air with Brian.
No, you're supposed to.
With Brian striking out with second and third, they could have tied it up, and now they're going to get swept by the Dodgers. I should just be like chilling like Kevin Powell going to White Sox games and having hot dogs and talking to a moderately winning baseball team who's calling in and wants to agree with you. KP, what's up, man?
Sorry to hijack your show, guys. I know I wasn't really invited, but I was listening to Hoag's point, and I had to call in and chime in on this. I completely agree with Hoager that from a White Sox fan perspective, even before the year, I remember I was talking to Kaufman about this, and he actually kind of laughed at me. I said, I'm looking forward to this year more I couldn't remember a year I was this excited about than this one, because it is refreshing. And I think the fan base isn't as frustrated because there's a clear plan put in place. So you can go to a game and not get stressed out and, you know, the team's pitching you on a patched together roster and smoke and mirrors. And it was never, this is what they needed to do. And it's just refreshing to see. So I think a lot of the stress is off the fan base. So I think people are just going and kind of watching baseball and enjoying it and believing in this rebuild. So I'm with Hoger there. I think it's just it's a refreshing rebuild. And I think Sox fans appreciate that.
KP, when I was out in Arizona during spring training and in past years, when I've been out there, it's like, all right, all these young guys are in. It's like you want to see the major league players. You want to see the guys who are contributing this year. Like, okay, let's see how Jose Abreu's hitting, whatever. Mm-hmm. This year, like, I was way more entertained and intrigued because I'm going down, like, this list of this lineup, and I'd never heard of Nicky Delmonico. Never heard of him. Did research on him. Turns out he one time was a pretty huge prospect, the centerpiece of the K-Rod deal when the Brewers acquired him from the Orioles. And now he's here in Chicago trying to salvage his career. Well, he's in Charlotte now, but I'm talking about in spring training. And the guy was creaming the ball. And he still is, actually, in Charlotte. Like, that kind of stuff is, for a White Sox fan in a franchise that has, like, never even thought about using the R word, rebuild. There was no reason to ever pay attention to the minor leagues. Now there's a ton of a reason, and I'm still enjoying the major league product at the same time, even though they're a losing ball club right now.
Right, and I would say, too, that for any Sox fans who may have become disinterested, don't become disinterested. This is a fun time to, like, as you said, Hogue, to kind of get to know some of these younger players and actually watch it all unfold in front of you. Watch this rebuild happen. So don't just give up on them now. I'm not trying to sell the team on anyone. I understand you want to see a team win, but it's fun to see all these young guys, especially the amount of prospects and then the Robert signing or Robert or Robert, however you say it. They're stockpiling talent, and it's fun to see them actually do this. So, again, back to your point, Hogue, I think it's just a really refreshing take on White Sox baseball, which was really stagnant and stale for a while.
What's the verdict on the name? Is it Robert?
It's Rober.
Rober.
I think it's Robber.
Like, so...
Wait.
Okay, they explained it today. I got to go back and listen to the tape now because I'm already confusing myself. Or they were talking about it yesterday. Phonetically, I've seen it spelled R-O-W-B-U-R-R, Rober.
Rober.
I talked to one White Sox reporter who was adamant that it was Robber. So maybe you're right, but I've heard it seven different ways. I was on a Kansas City radio.
It should not be that hard.
I was on a Kansas City radio station. The guy's the biggest nerd baseball guy of all time, Surin Petro. He was like, Luis Robert. I'm like, who? I'm like, oh, the Roberts guy? I'm like, oh.
The Roberts guy?
Right. Well, as Ricky Renteria said, he said, I don't think the guy really even cares. He just wants to play professional baseball. So that's a huge signing, though. I mean, they beat out the St. Louis Cardinals, who that was deflating for them. So that's huge for the Sox, and I think the whole Cuban aspect of it and the long line of history the Sox have there helped out. But it's very. I hate to do this because I know some Sox fans don't want to hear it, but it's starting to look exactly what the Cubs did. Get as much talent as possible. Don't worry about having too many outfielders, too many second basemen. Just get as much talent as possible, and it all work out.
Another home run for the Dodgers, 7-4 LA. throw that out there.
I can just see Carmen right now, not really listening to me, but watching the Cubs game while he's doing a radio show.
Hawk
exactly
Carmen here. If Carmen did play-by-play, that's exactly what it would sound like.
I was with you like
another home run for the Dodgers.
I was with you like 46% of the way, and then I turned and the ball sailing to the deep part of the ballpark. My response to UKP is. Like the Cubs you guys are like the Cubs in 2013. You don't have your guys up here, so it's
But they're gonna be coming up.
I know.
It's pretty wild to see the interest in the Charlotte Knights. Like, how often are fans really like a casual fan that interested in a minor league team? Comcast is airing AAA games. So people can watch these prospects. There's obviously a clear interest there.
No question. And I completely agree with what the White Sox are doing. But when you're running out, like I'm looking at the lineup today. I mean, who on that lineup do you even care about? Like
Avi.
Okay. I mean, Lurie Garcia. I guess I want to see how Abreu does. I don't care about Melky. I don't care about Todd Frazier. I care about Tim Anderson.
But I'll tell you what, like, Yolmer Sanchez seems like he could be a really good utility guy on a good team that's going to the playoffs. Like, obviously, he's not your second baseman in the future. You got Yoan Moncada. But is he a piece that maybe you can flip? Let's not forget they the Twins wanted Eduardo Escobar in the Francisco Liriano trade. And he's put like 5-6 good seasons together up in Minnesota. I mean, there's a market for those guys, so you could either trade him or, you know, is that a guy you keep around because he could be a great bench player for you when you're good? I don't know.
And it's good that just to pile on the White Sox love with you two right now. I mean, David Robertson, 2/3 of an inning today, didn't give up anything, only threw 3 pitches, got his 7th save. That's good, right?
Miguel Gonzalez pitched 6 innings of perfect baseball today. I mean, that's something to watch.
Yeah, he was really good today. He was really good today. The before the season, I also said this too, which, look, go, and if you're watching the Sox game, go ahead and root for it. I'm not one of those guys that's going to be preaching, oh, root for them to lose, root for them to lose.
I know
in the grand scheme of things, yes, it probably helps down the road,
But if, can you honestly tell me you're going to sit down in front of a TV, you just want to relax and watch baseball and actively root against your favorite team? That's ridiculous. But I would say more importantly, if you're really going to root hard on something, root for individual performances. Root for Todd Frazier to straighten things out at the plate, because he does have a lot of value at the deadline if he is hitting. Root for David Robertson, because he's got a lot of value, although he's got that huge contract. People are going to be looking for relievers. So you can root for individual performances if you're not really into the whole, if you're also losing interest in going all rah-rah on the White Sox. You got to pull for those individual performances. And the thing with Jose Quintana, too, is I know there's been endless amounts of trade talks with him. They don't necessarily even have to trade Quintana if the deal doesn't come around. I mean, they don't. They can just keep him. They can just keep him. He can anchor your rotation. So if Rick Hahn doesn't get a deal that he thinks is legit for Quintana, then I would just keep the guy.
Yeah, I still feel him. I think
they're going to trade him. My point is they're in a good position where they don't have to force this at all. I mean,
I know they don't have to force it, but I mean, there's still not enough depth in that system. And like you said earlier, you got to pile it on, and I think Quintana, with all the pitching you have acquired, is the move. But I'll tell you what, Kerry, are you going to be out at the game Tuesday night? Because it's Quintana and Chris Sale, and if you want to kind of re-bolster that trade value, if Quintana goes out there Tuesday night and out-duels Chris Sale, I mean, that's a game on Tuesday night that the entire baseball world is going to have their eyes on, and that, to me, that's a big opportunity. You don't put anything into one game, but the way Quintana's season has been gone so far, I think that's a huge opportunity and certainly something to root for if you're a Sox fan to beat Chris Sale and have Quintana do it.
Yeah, I will be there, and I can't wait to watch this pitching matchup. I think you're spot on there. I think one of the knocks with Quintana, I wouldn't say it's really a knock, it's almost a misperception on him, is that, you know, in my mind, I think Quintana is a one in his starting rotation. I think he can be your ace. I don't think a lot of people think he is. They think he's more of a 1B or a 2, which is fine. But I think this is an opportunity to if he goes out and out-pitches Sale, the teams are like, oh, maybe he can carry the load. Maybe he can come through for us in huge moments or high-stress games, you know, along those lines. So I think that could probably absolutely help his trade stock. I can't wait for that pitching matchup.
Here's how I look at it.
You should come out there, Hoger.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I think I'm already going to be downtown Tuesday, so I might as well go all the way down. I'll be there. I think I've pretty much decided now that the matchup's out that I'm going to be there. Here's the way I look at it, because you said there's like some debate here. Is he a one? Is he a two? I think he's a two on a really good playoff team, okay? So if you can get a team pay for him like he's a one, so you're looking for a playoff team that's willing to pay for him like he's a one, but he's probably going to slide in like a two in whatever rotation he goes to.
We'll give you Schwarber.
Then... You now you're willing to give up Schwarber.
I was always willing to give up Schwarber.
Now you're willing to give up. You know what? I don't want him anymore. I got Luis Robert.
Quintana to the Cubs makes almost too much sense.
I agree.
I don't know if the Cubs would have interest in doing it. I know they don't really want to make deals with the Sox, but it's exactly what the Cubs have actually said publicly what they're looking for: a young, controllable arm.
I think the Cubs would do it. I don't think the White Sox would want to be seeing Quintana in that rotation winning World Series.
Rick Hahn just said 2 weeks ago he doesn't care about the proximity of the deal. I mean, if it's the right deal, the Cubs have more than enough to get him.
I don't believe Rick Hahn on that one. I really don't.
What if Schwarber's your amazing DH? If he's your David Ortiz for the next decade, then who cares if Quintana won a World Series for the Cubs?
Right,
logically makes sense. Yeah.
What if Chris Sale wins a World Series with the Red Sox this year? I mean, why is it any different? I don't understand that.
Right, it's not, and it's like, think of the Sammy Sosa. That was never some dark cloud really hanging over White Sox fans, was it? I don't think it was. It wasn't like, oh, they got robbed on that deal. It's the Sammy Sosa curse. The Sox have. It's like that was never really in anybody's mind. It was like, oh, that sucks. He's doing great with the Cubs. I don't think it'd be as scrutinized. Unless it was completely lopsided, but I don't think it would, because everyone understands the situation where the Sox are rebuilding, Cubs need, you know, another pitcher. So all that factored in, I don't think it would be. Even if the prospects don't pan out for the Sox,
everyone can look back to this time and remember, well, at the time, everyone thought Ian Happ was great or Candelario was going to be a phenomenal third baseman. I don't think it would be scrutinized as much as some think.
3-1-2, torn jersey night. 10 people wear mangled sale jerseys to the game.
It's a great look.
I bet you they will.
KP, more importantly, what do you got for your dinner plans tonight?
Dinner plans, well, shameless plug here. I'm going to be going hanging out with Jared Payton for a little bit on Sports.
Oh, yeah, TV. Right.
So if anybody wants to tune in there, it's 6 o'clock, CLTV. Dinner plans, I'm not sure. I did take down a pole of sausage and a hot dog at the game today, so I'm not exactly starving. I got to do some grilling, though. Maybe some chicken, maybe a little barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken.
Meat.
I'm thinking about watching the end of the Cub game over at Howells and Hood getting the cheese curds. Well, you gotta. Does that work for me?
I'm a fan of the cheese curds. They do a solid cheeseburger there as well. Get in the patio, Carm. Perfect night for that.
Some of the best patios
in the city.
You know, I wanted to go over there after the Bike to Drive this morning. They weren't open yet.
They don't do breakfast.
Yeah.
8:30 in the morning. Couldn't find anywhere to get a mimosa.
11 o'clock.
Downtown Chicago.
They open at 11. I had a 10 o'clock date set up there. I'll meet you at Howells and Hood for brunch. We get there. It's closed. Great start.
You guys both did Bike to Drive?
I didn't.
I did. Yeah.
KP, we're up against the news. Dan Long, have a great show tonight with JP.
I just really wanted to call in and talk to you fellas. A couple of nice gentlemen you two are.
You're always welcome, brother. You know this call. we love you. Thank you, brother.
Love you, too. See you guys soon. Bye.
Kevin Powell coming back from White Sox, headed to Sports Feed. All right, news is next. Do you agree with the Adam Hogue contention? White Sox fans, are you having more fun this year than normal?
But also, Cubs fans, are you still having fun? Because it seems like a lot of people are not. Seems like people are just stressed out.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Would love to talk to you. 720 WGN. I want to be a ball girl so bad. 536, 720 WGN. Brian Noonan coming up at 6? Is that an accurate statement? I think it is.
The guys from Sound Sessions are in for Brian tonight. Ooh. So it'll be Mike Heidemann and Kevin Richter.
Brian's got to prep for his big show tomorrow.
Heidi-Heidi-Ho, Kevin Richter coming up at 6 o'clock. Always an entertaining show. I want to read you a text that was sent to me. I went to a wedding on Friday night. I went to a wedding on Saturday.
That's too many weddings.
A lot of weddings. Got another wedding next Saturday.
What's the most weddings you went to in 1 year? Dude. I hit 9. 1 year.
I have no idea.
It was way too many.
I don't have that many friends, so I've never hit 9. But I did go back-to-back wedding this weekend. So the Friday wedding. Friday night. Drive out to the wedding.
Where was it?
Rockford, Illinois. Drove by Beefaroo. So that's supposedly the spot. They didn't register, okay? I've been a little bit more in wedding season.
I'm a cash guy. You get cash. You can go buy whatever you want with it.
Okay, I'm using the register. You do that. It's easy. Done. Bang. Over. Don't need to think about it. Don't have to get you a card. I love it. These people didn't register. I get to the wedding. There's a huge gift table. Oh yeah. Don't have a gift. Didn't think about it. So you know whatever. I'll get them when I get them.
Here's reality. No one notices if you didn't get them a gift.
Okay.
There's too many people at the wedding.
Okay.
Okay, I'm about to be wrong, yeah. Aren't I?
Yo, this is the text that I got yesterday, 6 o'clock in the evening. Yo, hope you got back all right. By the way, did you bring a gift to the wedding? It's absolutely in capital, absolutely. Fine if you didn't. I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose it in the shuffle. Thanks again for coming out, sir.
What?
That's true. Now that I get that text, I'm like, oh no.
That's not even cool to send that text.
Well, I'm like, am I the only bozo at the wedding that didn't put a gift on the table? And so,
but come on, man. And don't even try to pass it off like if you didn't, it's okay. You're not trying to find some missing present. You're trying to find out if you didn't bring a gift.
So it's a two-questioner, 312-981-7200. Number one, am I wrong for not having the gift on wedding day? I thought you had a year. I thought that was the rule.
I don't know about that.
1 year post-wedding. for the gift to show up. Secondly, is he mad or did he actually just want to get information?
No, he's mad.
Because I wrote back, I said, you know, thanks for having us. Good times and congrats. Great meeting your parents and whatnot. Slow on the gift, but it will be arriving at some point. And he writes back, no problem, man. Just trying to figure out this mystery card. So now he's throwing the mystery card in there. Like who would even leave a mystery card? Is there really a mystery card? Or is he like, that dude, I knew he wasn't going to bring a gift. I knew it.
If the mystery card had like $5,000 in it, and it was like an anonymous $5,000 gift, and he's trying to figure it out if it was you, then maybe I believe him. But that's probably not what's going on there, right?
So how could that even be? Like hey, congratulations. You just put I don't know, $50 bill, $100 bill in there or a gift card or whatever, and no, you don't even sign it? Who would do something like that? That's not possible, is it?
Yeah, I don't 269, wrong for not having a gift or at least a card with promise a gift.
But a bunch of people are saying I do have the year. Catherine is going to support us here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. If you already didn't like me, am I a worse person for not having a gift on the wedding date? Go ahead, Catherine.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the trashiest thing you can do is bring a gift to the reception. You're forcing the bride and groom or their parents or whatever to gather all those things up instead of them being able to leave the reception and go on their honeymoon and go on their wedding night or something like that. And do you see how frantic he is trying to count? Well, Carm was here. Carm would have brought me a present. You know, blah, blah, blah. No, you should send a check or whatever you're going to do or a present. But if you buy a gift, you should send it.
I thank you, Catherine. I agree. I didn't expect to be the table. Was this a birthday party?
I think that's a great point, Catherine, that I've never thought about. Also, I'll bring up from my own wedding. I don't think we looked at our gifts for like 3 weeks. Do you know how hectic it was after the wedding? Like the last thing we could think about was like, oh, there's a bunch of presents we need to open. I would have no idea. 6 o'clock yesterday? This is less than 24 hours after the wedding.
They're going through the presents.
And he's already texting you like, hey, man, why didn't I get a gift? That's ridiculous.
He's a great man. I love him.
That is unbelievable.
By the way, did you bring a gift to the wedding? It's absolutely fine if you didn't. I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose it in the shuffle.
That's I can't even like comprehend that.
I'm like, but I did it. It's a terrible feeling. Like, nah, didn't bring you a gift. Sorry. I'll get it to you.
Wait, what was your response again?
I said, thanks for having us. It was slow on the gift, but I'll get it to you soon. Don't worry. Keep the faith.
See, now, a great text back would have been what Catherine brought up. You'd be like, hey, man, we didn't want to clutter your night. It's in the mail.
That would have been a good one.
Right?
I should have thought that through.
We were thinking about you and your convenience. It's on the way. Here's another question I have. Should Carm even get him a gift now? No, I mean, that's serious, the way that guy texted. Because I'm anti-gift now. I don't think he gets anything.
Do you know what? And that's
you lost it, buddy.
If you go money, what is the protocol on a dollar figure for a friend?
That's the one thing I was
like. I can't go money because then how much is it? But like then whatever, it's always money, right? If you're gonna get a gift card, it's money. If you're gonna get a gift, you have to pay money for the gift, so it's always dollars. But if you give strict dollars, like that does get examined.
So Krista was the maid of honor in a wedding a few weeks ago in Milwaukee, which we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. But so we ended up giving more for that one because it's a closer friend, right? She's the maid of honor. But at the same time, I'm thinking, do you know how much money you spent on this thing just being maid of honor? You know what I mean? Like, you put a lot of effort, not just money, but
it's true.
A ton of effort and thought into things like,
But you still got to get a gift.
I know you still got to get a gift. But yeah. I'm saying, like, you didn't need the. I don't know that you needed to give him more in that situation.
Right.
I don't know what the etiquette is on this.
This particular situation, too, I did have to drive all the way to Rockford. That is a tad bit of an inconvenience.
First of all, that should be like a. If you're holding your wedding in Rockford, no gift. Like, you're lucky.
That's not nice to Rockford. It's a fine town. It's an outstanding city.
I'm kidding, Rockford.
However, when you do a Google search and there's the 10 worst cities in America, occasionally Rockford doesn't make that list.
I love Rockford so much. It's a great place to drive straight through on my way to Madison and not stop. Both of my parents went to Rockford College, by the way.
I tried to get a TV gig in Rockford. It didn't work out for me. I worked in DeKalb. I know. I see you, Rockford. I loved Rockford more when they had a CBA team. One of my favorite people in the world, my roommate for 5 years. She grew up in Rockford. Calls it Vegas, Las Vegas, or Vegas. I don't even know why
she
that's a thing.
Rockford,
Las Vegas.
Like Rock Vegas?
Yeah, like Rock Vegas. That's her thing. Hey, Jennifer, what do you got? Welcome to 720 WGN. What happened with this gift?
Well, I think that that's more of the bride putting the groom up to asking you that question, because I don't think many grooms would be really worried about that.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, decent point, because I'm caught off by this too.
So, yeah, I think, you know, he had to word that just right to not be offensive. And
interesting.
But, yeah, that's what I think.
But so.
But you do still need to send a gift. Like, you need to really do that.
I do. You're right, and I will. Do you think that there is a mystery card in existence here, Jennifer, that she's trying to figure out, and she's asking?
No.
No, you don't believe in the mystery card.
No.
Nobody buys the mystery card.
Yeah, I think if we're going that far, we're giving them way too much credit.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Have a good night.
You too. Thanks for calling. 312-981-7200. Carm, your answer to your buddy's text should have been, yes, I did.
I like that.
That would have been brilliant. I sure did. Yeah, it was like $200, man. Cash. You tell me you don't have it? Oh, that's terrible. What's up, Brent? Welcome to 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're wonderful, Brent.
Your first caller was absolutely right. Never take a gift to the reception. Always, if you're giving it, get it to the bride or her family first thing before the event, or you can send it to them afterward. But the big thing is, your buddy is a clod for sending that email. That's beyond the pale. That's awful. He's a jerk. And what is he doing tallying up the gifts so shortly after the wedding? Just awful.
Well, when should he open up the gifts, though? I mean, what are you going to do, wait a month?
I don't know, but less than 24 hours after, it's one thing to, like, look at them and open a few, but to, like, yeah, like what Brent's saying, to actually tally them up and, like, determine who didn't give you one less than 24 hours after the wedding is really weird.
And the whole thing where families get together and they want the bride and groom to join them the next day before they leave, you know, on the honeymoon and go through all the gifts. And so the sisters and the mothers are all oohing and aahing, and they're doing a little tally in their head of who is good, who is bad, who wins the gift award.
It's obnoxious.
I think that's awful, too. The bride and groom opens them later, writes a thank you note. That's the only communication they ought to be sending.
Yeah. Brent, appreciate the phone call.
That opens up a whole another cane, because, right, like, I'm already on this thing where it's like, let's be honest. I mean, how many of the weddings that you've actually been to in your life do you actually want to be at? I mean, there are certainly some in everyone's family and friends that you can't wait for, that you really, that you know, you're really, really excited to see your buddy get married. But there's also a lot of weddings where you're like number 200.
Oh, I was dead
on the guest list.
I was dead last on this invite.
You know, like maybe five people there. And then they're like, yeah, you want to come to the gift opening party tomorrow? No, I want to get as far away from Rockford as I possibly can at this point.
Getting some great texts going on here. I enjoyed the wedding. I was happy to be invited. I'm excited. I was looking forward to giving the gift. All of it. I just didn't know. I just didn't realize that you know, there was going to be a table, and then the text came in. And I thought that would be a fine radio topic. because everybody can relate to a good wedding and not gifting.
Rockford, that's like the worst destination wedding ever.
You're killing Rockford. Rockford's a fine town. I wouldn't want to live there for life, but I, you know, if you told me that I had to retire to Rockford at some point, I'd be good with it. Being in my 20s in Rockford, that wouldn't be great. Raising a family in Rockford, I see you, Rockford. I'm down. Nice, easy place. Get a big house. Not a lot of dough. Live in Rockford. You're 90 minutes from the city. Could be a whole lot worse. Less than an hour to Madison. There's another funny story. we pull up to the church for the wedding, and there is like a big cross on the church, on the building to the right. And then there's this other random building, and I'm with my date. I dropped her off at the random building and said, let me park the car for you. It's raining. So I dropped her off at the rando building. I parked the car. We're late, by the way. The wedding's already...
Wait, why would you not go to the church?
I wasn't paying attention. There was a building there. I just looked at this other building. I thought that was it. Then you look at the other building. Huge cross. Clearly, that's the church. We walk out. We have to walk from the other building to the other building. So she's soaked walking in. Classic. Nice job with the date, Carm. Way to go. But then we got in there. The wedding's already going. What do you do? You're not going to open up the door. So we went into the kids' room. There was like a kid's little pew or whatever where you can hang out with the two-year-olds and still hear what's going on. So we were watching the wedding drenched. With a bunch of two-year-olds. With no gift. On 720.
This is a great wedding.
And then we went to, when we stopped at the bar, there was like an hour window between the wedding and the reception.
Yeah.
So we toured downtown Rockford. I was having a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Went to Detour or something, played some darts. It was great. Should we take one more? Patrick, what's up, Patrick? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Here's my take on it for what it's worth anyway. I'm figuring the next morning, you know, they got up and it just dawned on them. It hit them like a lightning, okay? Man, that wedding cost us. It could have been 10 G's. You know, and maybe she or, you know, he or whatever they said. Check the gifts. How much cash we got there? Just to bring that number down.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
If you're counting on cash coming back to you for what you're putting in the wedding, that's not a good strategy.
Not a good investment strategy. I don't think that was what was going on here. I know that wasn't what was going on. I think it was all innocent. But I thought it was a great radio moment at the time. You don't believe in the innocence. Hogue's giving me a look. Wow.
What is innocent about it?
I just wanted to know. Like they have, I believe the story. I do.
Well, you know him better than I do.
I know him well. I do. Mostly well. I mean, it's the first time I've ever gone to his wedding. I haven't been to multiple weddings, so.
Then you went to another wedding last night.
I did. It was great. I didn't have a
lot of weddings for one weekend.
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend. I got a whole other thing on weddings on holiday weekends. That includes my sister who got married on Labor Day weekend last year.
How's that? That was...
I missed the Northwestern opener.
Yeah, there was something going on there. Right, you missed the Northwestern opener.
But I said that like I was complaining. It was my sister's wedding. Obviously, that falls in the category of weddings I'm looking forward to. That's not the thing. But we have this ongoing thing within our own family, even, about holiday weddings.
Well, you just wish that she would have scheduled better. You're happy for your sister.
Well, and 90% of the people at this wedding were from Wisconsin. Uh-huh. And Wisconsin was playing LSU at Lambeau Field.
Can't have that.
So
who doesn't look ahead like that?
There was a contingent of people watching the game at cocktail hour their iPhones.
That's what happened at my kid party bar mitzvah, September 7, 1986. It was the opener of the Bears season. They were playing the Giants after the Super Bowl. I had 70 kids who were supposed to come. 30 showed. I'm still scarred to the day. That is a true story. No one came.
Do you know that there's a video of me as a less than a one-year-old crawling around with that specific game on in the background?
I see.
I could show it to you in the break.
I can't wait. 720 WGN. Kind of like this text, 773. After listening to the show a couple months, I kind of think you need a life coach, Carm. That would be mice.
Well, you did sound like a hot mess showing up to this wedding in the rain in Rockford.
Wasn't my fault that we were late. Not to blame my date.
Whoa! That's the second week in a row you've just thrown somebody under the bus like that.
Hey, listen, I'm here to tell truths. It was not my fault we were late. It wasn't. Is that wrong? Is honesty wrong in this world, Dan Long?
I mean, that was a
not
bus.
At all.
That was a bus toss.
I mean, there's
do
no
you,
one,
do you,
there's
how many times you no throw one. Me under the bus when I'm not around?
Not around. I said it to, right to her face.
I wasn't the one killing Rockford.
That's true.
I didn't say that.
I would say that. Listen, Oak was killing Rockford. Crushing it.
I'd like to apologize to the great city of Rockford where
you would?
Both of my parents went to college.
Did they really?
Yes. I just told you that 5 minutes ago.
No, you did not.
I did. Check the tape.
Okay. I saw a picture of you as a baby.
Yes, he did. I heard it.
Thank you.
Baddish, go back to Baddish land. You were not down here. Don't.
Baddish, I was sitting up here.
Baddish is bus tossing me. It's a good bus toss by Baddish.
Thank you.
No, that was just backing me up. Baddish has my back.
That was a bus toss, Baddish.
I'm a news guy. I deal in fact.
Hashtag Baddish bus toss. Can we do another hour radio? I'm really, we're starting our stride right now.
That's always good. 557. Nailed it.
312. Carm does do therapy, I believe. Everyone should do therapy. Of course.
Your arm needs therapy.
It does.
When I see you next, I want that elbow not looking like that, or I refuse to do the show with you.
No problem.
Not really. Just wear long sleeves.
Okay. You got it. Hey, we should get to Michael Heidemann and Kevin Richter on time. So let's take our final timeout. And what did you want to apologize to Rockford? I'm sorry.
I did apologize.
You had enough? You clear? You and Rockford are good?
I think we're good.
Okay. Nobody texted in. No Rockford.
No one's mad. I mean, I'm not sure anybody disagrees with me.
Right. I think everybody gets
I mean,
it.
No one took offense.
Yeah. All right. They're up next, 720 WGN.